Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, Monday edition of the program. I hope all of you had fantastic weekends. Buck got to see Dave Matthews. I managed to keep all three boys within my purview at the Georgia-Tennessee game. We had awesome weekends. I hope you guys did as well. We are just trying to bring sanity to an insane world, and there is a lot of insanity out there for us to talk about today, let's be honest. CNN goes in on Kamala Harris and how awful she has been. SNL goes after Ted Cruz, isn't funny, manages to continue to spread falsehoods. Kyle Rittenhouse, a judge has dismissed one of the charges against him. Inflation continues to roll. The ABC Washington Post poll has a 41-year low for Democrats. The Steele dossier continued fallout continues, although MSNBC and CNN won't address it, as the Washington Post and Axios have essentially apologized for everything that they did. And you knew it was coming. Every adult needs the booster per Dr. Fauci. But we begin with some news that just happened. I'll play the audio for you. We've been following the Kyle Rittenhouse case. One of the charges has been dismissed against Rittenhouse. It has to do with a gun charge. This is what it sounded like. Let's play cut 20 as the judge in the case dismisses one of the counts against Kyle Rittenhouse.
Is the firearm here? No?
Yes.
We can either measure it or you can stipulate that it does not meet what I've stated are the requirements.
We are not disputing that the barrel length is appropriate.
Isn't legal?
It is not a short-barreled shotgun or a short-barreled rifle, yes.
Either by barrel or by overall length?
Correct.
All right, and then count six is dismissed.
So, Buck, you're a lot more of an expert on firearms than I am. How in the world did it get to this point if the gun didn't fit the statutory authority under which he had been charged that it gets to all the way to this point in the trial before that is dismissed?
The prosecution brought charges here, Clay, that were meant to send a political message.
Yeah.
That's why, and they were hoping to at least include a gun charge to give people all along a talking point where, oh, it was illegal for him to be there. It was illegal for him to even be carrying what he was carrying. False. It was not illegal for him to be there, nor was it illegal for him to be carrying this rifle. What they're talking about here is it an SBR, a short barrel rifle? And there are very specific qualifications for this based on the length of the actual barrel, right? That's what I said. Do we need to measure this?
Yeah.
He's carrying what's essentially a pretty standard AR-15, which is a rifle, which under Wisconsin law, it's a semi-automatic rifle, he was allowed to be carrying. So now we don't have a gun charge. So this is people were saying, oh, well, maybe we'd get him on, and when I say people, I mean the leftists who hate
lesser charges sometimes happen.
Right. They threw the kitchen sink and then some at him with the equivalent of essentially murder one. Right.
Yeah, premeditated murder is not happening in this case. If any jury, I don't even understand how that's not dismissed based on the facts that have been established in the case, frankly.
But they threw that in just because that was the prosecution's way of saying, yeah, we hate this kid too, libs. Don't worry. We hate him. We're going to charge him with a crime that he could get mandatory life. Understand, if that count were to be found by the jury to be guilty, he would spend the rest of his life, it's mandatory, no parole, let rest of his life in prison. And the fact that they even included that in a case like this just goes to show you the level of malpractice. They never should have even brought charges against him. They overcharged him. They threw charges in that would be clearly, like this rifle one, disproven the moment it actually was tested in a court. But what they decided to do was use it all as just an opportunity to pile on and smear and see what they could get. So now it all comes down to the self-defense counts. Now it all comes down to, was Kyle Rittenhouse using force to stop a threat against him? Thankfully, we have video, so we know that the answer is yes. And also the politics of this, let's all be very clear, are less toxic, less fissile than they would be if he had shot any minorities at this BLM
riot. He shot three white guys, which I think people are just now becoming aware of in the last week, because he's been labeled a white supremacist. He's been labeled a racist. I'll be honest with you. When this story first came out, I presume that he had shot Black Lives Matter protesters who were black, because that is the way in which the media conveyed these charges and this story.
And, you know, later on, we'll talk about some other calls for censorship in the big media that affect yours truly, Clay. But in the meantime, you know, the New York Times being the dishonest and evil commies that they are. But in the meantime, I just would point out that they shut down this kid's ability to raise funds. It would be like saying, okay, yeah, you're entitled to a defense, but every bank in America is going to say that your accounts are frozen. They'll no longer carry any transactions for you. Are you really entitled to a legal defense then? Are you really getting the full benefit of your right to a trial as an American when platforms that are open to people decide you're guilty and therefore they'll kick you off? That's what they did here.
This was the time of the great wokening, which is now blowing up in Democrats' faces. And I think it's going to be such a fascinating historical record when we're not in the middle of this on a day-to-day basis, because tying in with all these other stories, Buck, Kamala Harris got absolutely savaged by CNN on Sunday, 4,000 or 5,000 word piece. I mean, it took a very long time to read, that felt like it was planted by the White House in some way. And I just want to read from the CNN article, because I want to get your reaction to this, Buck. Suspicion has sprouted out of the bitterness. Last month, White House aides, this is a CNN article, leapt to the defense of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who was being hammered with outrage by Fox News host Tucker Carlson and like-minded online pundits for taking paternity leave after the adoption of his twins. Harris loyalists tell CNN they see in that yet another example of an unfair standard at play, wondering why she didn't get similar cover any of the time she's been attacked by the right. The quote here: it's hard to miss the specific energy the White House brings to defend a white man, knowing Kamala Harris has spent almost a year taking a lot of the hits that the West Wing didn't want to take themselves. The former Harris aide said, essentially, this was racist of Joe Biden. This is, we know Harris herself has previously accused Joe Biden of being racist in a Democratic debate that saw her eventually be hated by all the Democratic voters, and she dropped out before any votes were even taking place. This is the natural outgrowth for Joe Biden of picking someone because of their race and gender to be a heartbeat away from the presidency. Kamala Harris is the vice president because she's black and a woman, and now she's angry that Joe Biden isn't doing enough for her because she's black and a woman, and effectively saying he's racist and sexist, and so is the White House.
This is what happens when you have intersectionality in the Oval Office. And this is and just as a review for everybody, right? Intersectionality is really the philosophical foundation of wokeness. And it's this newly made up concept, right? These are some of these words and ideas, you know, like critical race theory, things that the left comes up with and then creates some kind of framework for discussion. But intersectionality is that society is essentially all interlocking groups of oppression, right? There's all these different, there's really a hierarchy of oppression. Of course, at the top of the oppression hierarchy are white males, but then there's, you know, other groups, and, you know, Latinos, not as discriminated against as African Americans,
Asians, you know, but, barely, you know, basically white people,
right?
They call them
white adjacent is the term the left uses for Asians, which I think is highly offensive, but I mean, this is what they will say about Asians. But how does the LGBTQ community fall into this, right? You'll notice the Kamala defenders saying white man Pete Buttigieg is getting defense from the White House here. Wait, isn't first ever LGBTQ, now, by the way, that would actually be Rick Grenell, who's a friend of mine, so I don't want to, but wouldn't this Democrat administration say this is the first LGBTQ plus cabinet member, and so of course we should defend him and defend Kamala? No, they go, oh, you're just going to defend the white guy. They leave out the intersectional aspect of this because they're bitter, because nobody wants Kamala to be president except, you know, Jeff Zucker, a few people work at MSNBC and CNN, and that's it. No one wants her to be president, Clay. I don't even know if Kamala wants to be president.
By the way, CNN also got criticized. Don Winslow, who's written a lot of good books, actually, said the written hit piece on CNN today sent to millions was racist and misogynistic, and if you allow it to go unchecked, You are failing her, President Biden, and this country at a time when Trump and Republicans are trying to burn this country, Buck, to the ground. Also, our good friend Little Red Lyinghood, Jen Psaki, weighed in with maybe the most tepid defense possible, Buck. She said, for anyone who needs to hear it, at VP is not only a vital partner to POTUS, but a bold leader. And this is where she really kind of just crushed her. A bold leader who has taken on key important challenges facing the country. From voting rights to addressing root causes of migration to expanding broadband, all of which Kamala Harris has looked ridiculous trying to elucidate the government position.
There's no way they're going to be able to convince people with talking points that this is, you know, this is somehow not the reality of what the American people are seeing with Kamala Harris, as the borders are with Kamala Harris, as somebody who can't even go through. Let's be really honest about it. Even the ceremonial functions of a vice president,
she's incompetent,
seem to be somehow amiss for her. Even the very straightforward things that anybody in the role you would think could do, Kamala makes it look like, wait, how can you be inauthentic at the ribbon cutting ceremony, if you will? That's
no
what
kidding.
She manages to do. And that's why there's a bit of a panic, because simultaneously, Clay, there are some Democrats who are, you know, waking up the same way they're waking up to the reality that now Fauci is saying boosters for everybody. Every
yes,
adult.
Which you've been telling everybody out there,
which
was going to happen.
We've been saying 4 months that yes. That is exactly, go back, listen to the read the transcript, listen to the show. We've been saying they're going to say boosters for everybody. We've been right. And he even says it's because of the Israeli data, which we've been talking about here and had to
for
Alex Berenson since July.
Yes.
So boosters for everybody. But the same way that we can all see what's really going on and now they can't hide it, with Joe Biden, the guy's going to be 82 in his second term going into it. That's supposed to be okay for the American people? This is the best we can do? I mean, yeah, there are some 82-year-olds who are super sharp and on. He's not even one of those.
No. He is, as we've said, Thanksgiving is next week. He's the doddering member of your family who can no longer string consecutive thoughts together that make sense. But Kamala's a lot younger, and she, every time she talks, it's like she has a word quota she has to fill. Did you hear?
By the way, can I just
who
makes you more comfortable? I mean, I read the article they sent over the weekend, and it was pretty, I mean, it wasn't surprising, but it was a good
yes.
read. Who are you more comfortable with having the nuclear codes, Kamala or Joe Biden, honestly?
Joe.
I say Joe.
I mean, just because I think he is more cognizant, which is crazy to say, of the consequences of decisions, whereas Kamala, listen to this on 9. Listen to Kamala. We'll play a couple of these cuts for you about Kamala, because CNN was talking about her too. But first, got to tell you, Black Friday next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, big sales every store to get your holiday shopping. But why wait if there's a new iPhone on your holiday gift list? Pure Talk Cellular has the iPhone 12 for just $479. That's a great holiday gift. Remember, it's the exact same 5G network using the exact same towers as one of the big carriers. You can keep your same phone number and your same phone if you don't want a new one. You can leave AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. You're going to see monthly savings of $50 or $60 or more. Plus, my own 13-year-old has got a Pure Talk cell phone, and he gets unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network for just $30 a month. Buck, how do you get signed up?
They've got a 30-day risk-free guarantee at Pure Talk, so you literally have nothing to lose. From your cell phone right now, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll save 50% off your first month and save on a new phone. That's #250. Say Pure Talk. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. I was just telling y'all a minute ago about how Kamala, and welcome back to Clay and Buck Show, how Kamala is able to make a mess of things in the most straightforward, ceremonial, and soundbite situation, right? Somehow people go, wait, what? Just kind of be normal, you know, just don't try too hard. Just actually, this is what happens. And really the problem that Kamala's having, and what people around her team are also very sensitive to, is this a person who has just been pushed forward by the establishment for reasons other than political skill, and mass political appeal. Are there other factors that have had the system pushing her forward? This is what gets very sensitive. You know, you start asking why Kamala. Here's an example, though. Clay pointed this out to me.
To see where we are headed, where we are going, and our vision for where we should be, but also see it as a moment, yes, to together address the challenges and to work on the opportunities.
There's nothing there.
I don't even know what it. Can you start it again? It was quick. Start it again for a second. Just so we hear. Here she is in France.
We must together work together to see where we are, where we are headed, where we are going, and our vision for where we should be, but also see it as a moment, yes, to together address the challenges and to work
You went to GW, I went to Amherst, and you went to law school after that to Vandy, right? You always remember, right, when there was the kid that thought that he could get away with not doing the reading when called on, and
yes.
was like getting kind of close to it, and then just belly flopped at the end.
I've heard, you know, in law school we have the Socratic method, Buck. So everybody gets called on. But when you're getting grilled by a professor on a detailed case, it becomes really self-evident who has never done the reading at all. And that's what it sounded like.
Right.
That is Kamala getting, and she's just, that's not even getting grilled. That's her trying to talk. I mean, it's embarrassing.
But this is what it is all the time, right? This is her sitting down, for example, what we saw when she sat down with Lester Holt. And he's like, hey, when are you going to the border? Why haven't you gone? And she goes, we've been to the border. No, you can't. That's not going to fly. Like, that's not going to work. You can't pull that move here. But she keeps trying. And you have to wonder, people say, well, she was a senator in California. Yeah, where the Democrat machine is probably the most dominant and well-oiled as a system of any state in the country, right? And she got where she is through personal relationships and politics.
That's a very discreet way to describe her past. I mean, the whole thing with Kamala, Buck, she's not ready for prime time. And that's really the story that you get from CNN over and over again. It's not like Joe Biden is without error, but essentially what the White House West Wing seems to be saying is we're not going to try to defend her because so much of her problems are self-inflicted. And she just can't handle responding to questions. She's barely done an interview in the time that she's been in the White House because they're so terrified of what she might say.
And now, of course, they have to come up with an explanation for how it's not her fault without taking down Biden too much in the process. When you have leaks going on like this between the Oval Office and the vice president's office, you got issues. And this is not going to get...
When CNN's writing it, Buck, this is like this is Pravda, right? I mean, they're the propaganda machine for the Democrats in the White House, and they are writing this. It makes it feel like a setup.
CNN is much more emotionally invested as an institution in Kamala Harris than Joe Biden. No question about it. Much more emotionally invested. They want her to be the future of the Democrat Party. We'll come back to, is the media irredeemably dishonest? I think you know the answer to the question, but Clay will probably dive into that for us in a second here. If we've learned anything in the last few years, nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. You do everything you can to build up your immunity. That's why you need Texas Superfood, the original superfood. With 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes, you can build your body's defense from the inside out. That's why Dr. Dennis Black invented this over 20 years ago, folks. Texas Superfood boosts your immune system better than anything on the market. Eating fruits and veggies, you know it's good for you, but a lot of people don't get enough of them because of their schedules. That's why you need Texas Superfood. If you can't want or don't eat all your fruits and veggies, Texas Superfood was made for you. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. There's a bevy of stories for us to dive into, but want to hit you with a bevy of fake news, as Donald Trump would say. Also want to let you know, big ruling out of the Fifth Circuit that dropped on Friday night. We'll talk a little bit about the legal implications of the ruling, which was a slapdown, incredible ruling from the Fifth Circuit saying that the vaccine mandate implemented by Joe Biden through OSHA is unconstitutional for a variety of reasons. I hope that other circuit courts will also adopt the same perspective. But in the meantime, Joe Biden's vaccine mandate on the legal ropes. But we haven't talked a ton about the Steele dossier being completely wiped out as a legitimate basis for news. After 5 years, it's pretty wild to think about. After 5 years of trumpeting this all throughout the Washington Post, democracy dies in darkness and all that jazz, the New York Times, MSNBC, CNN. Buck, MSNBC and CNN have barely acknowledged in any way that the Steele dossier is now a complete fabrication. The Washington Post wrote a mea culpa. Same thing happened for Axios. But Andrew Sullivan had a good piece that he tweeted out that said, when all the media narratives collapse, and he listed all these different things, and I know a lot of our audience experienced the failure of the media on these stories, but when you see them all lined up one after the other, it's pretty crazy. 2016 election, media said Hillary Clinton was going to triumph. When she didn't, they blamed Russia collusion. Kyle Rittenhouse right now appears that he's very likely to not be found guilty. Media told you that he was a racist white supremacist hell-bent on committing murder. Covington Catholic, the kid on the Nicholas Sandman on the front steps. The vaccines and the fact that they were highly effective, that certainly has blown up, as we've been telling you for months on this show. The lab leak theory was unacceptable to suggest that COVID came out of a lab leak. Now seems like it did. Jussie Smollett, the Atlanta shootings, Hunter Biden's laptop, inflation, the Steele dossier. These are just some of them. The mainstream media got all of these stories wrong, Buck. And not only did they get them wrong, they lectured all of us who asked any questions about them and said we were spreading disinformation, misinformation, that we should have our abilities to talk to our audience restricted.
I wonder where Andrew Sullivan was during some of these. I'm just going to say that. As much as I like when people come to the truth, so I don't ever want to be, you know, there was somebody from a very far left, the Young Turks, who came out and said, you know, I was wrong about Rittenhouse. And so I never want to be that person that pounces on people when they arrive. You arrive at the truth, okay, good. But I do have a frustration here, Clay, as you're reading those things out. And it's not to, you know, Andrew Sullivan does a lot of good work on different issues. He's a liberal, but sometimes he's honest, or he seems to be honest, I should say, on most issues. This stuff was obvious. I mean, I did a podcast the first week of the Jussie Smollett case where the title was Jussie Smollett is lying. Everyone's saying, oh, it's, you know, crazy what happened to him and it's awful. I'm like, there's no
Kamala
way
said
this
it was
happened,
a lynching,
right?
A hate crime. I mean, she's, you know, an idiot, but that's what she tweeted.
And the same time when remember there was that moral panic over nooses all over the country, and it kept being found out, oh, it was a rope someone was using at a tree in a park for exercise equipment, or oh, it was a door pull on, you know, at a NASCAR
after all the story. Yeah,
there is, because we're going through something akin to a leftist cultural revolution, a Maoist cultural revolution, where independent thought, asking questions, trying to be a free thinker, and also trying to be accountable for what's true and what's not and what you say, because all that's going on right now, and they want to stop people from doing accountability, in their words. What are we supposed to take from this? The media has been consistently wrong on huge issues in the same direction, not because of honest mistakes. That's their alibi, and it's bullcrap. It's because they are activists, and it's because the Democrat corporate media, the same way that Democrats control 90% plus of all the faculty lounges in universities, the same way they control Netflix and they controlled Hollywood studios before that, they control 95% of the corporate-owned media, at least, and they're running an agenda all the time. Because the numbers don't add up otherwise, right? You would at least get something wrong at some point that was favorable to the right. Never happens. It does not occur. It's a statistical impossibility that what's going on here is not intentional. But when you realize it's intentional, then you know what we're dealing with, which is a bunch of ruthless commies pushing propaganda like the New York Times, CNN, etc.
What's so funny about that, Buck, is I've made that argument and it leaves everybody speechless. I just say, hey, you're right. You know, maybe the media is not biased. Tell me about all the great stories that ended up not being true that painted Donald Trump in a more flattering light. You can't even point to. You would think if you were just haphazard and frequently wrong in your analysis, has CNN, MSNBC, The Washington Post, or The New York Times ever had a flattering and incorrect article about Donald Trump that benefited him that we later found out was untrue. I can't even think of one.
There isn't one. I mean, it's not even that. I mean, I would go as far as to say it just didn't happen, right? It's not even like we could find one or two that maybe, you know, creates a little bit more dissonance in this argument. This is a 100% proposition, because you could never get that through a newsroom, because here's the real issue, Clay, isn't that they may never stumble onto news that might be favorable to the right. They would never print news that is favorable to the right that was not an absolute necessity, right? I mean, you know, unless it's the jobs numbers looking good and they know they can't get away with fabricating it, unless it's, you know, something that's impossible for them to effectively cheat on through editorializing in a way that favors one side, it won't happen. That's the way the system is set up. And so when we tell people out there, you cannot trust, we're not saying this without reason. We're not saying this without justification for it based on how they conduct themselves. These news entities are operating in a realm of lies. They lie about being unbiased. They lie about holding themselves accountable constantly. And that is actually now their mission statement. They started to slip a little bit and even say it during the Trump era, where the truth was anti-Trump. They Yes. come up with these very frightening authoritarian sounding slogans and things. You know, speech we don't like is violence. The truth is anti-Trump. You say, hold on a second. That doesn't sound like what a free society should be adhering to.
It's also important, Buck, to distinguish all those things that we just ran through were reported as fact, not opinion. And I feel much of the challenge that we have in American media right now is over a failure oftentimes to distinguish between fact and opinion. All of those things that were shared were allegations mostly of fact, right? If somebody watches the Kyle Rittenhouse trial right now and writes a piece, I think Kyle Rittenhouse should be found guilty. Here are four things that happened in the trial that make me believe that. That's an opinion piece. You can agree or disagree with it, but it's founded on what's actually taken place in the trial itself. When you say the Steele dossier is accurate, like Adam Schiff said for years, and is justification underlying for Donald Trump's removal from office, and then it all is found to be untrue, it destroys the factual basis of the claim, but then also every opinion base that was rooted in that case, which is a huge portion of overall discussion, hours and hours of falsehoods, and many people still don't know that it's fake news.
And isn't it fascinating that at the same time where we have seen more open and egregious falsehoods from the biggest news organizations in America that are Democrat aligned, right? CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, go down the list, all of them, MSNBC, NBC News, ABC News. At the same time, when you see that happening, you also have a shift in quote unquote journalism to, we need to shut down ideas we don't like. We need people to be banned from Twitter who say things about masks that we disagree with. We need
Fox
to shut
news
down questions about
broadcast.
The vaccine. What?
Fox News shouldn't be allowed to broadcast.
Yes.
That's an argument that has been made.
This is, they want their opponents to be shut up, because in a free market of ideas, these people look like the liars and the jackasses that they are, and they all have very both big and fragile egos at the same time. It's a remarkable thing about lib journos.
No doubt. And by the way, it's remarkable how low interest rates have been for a long time, Buck. You've been getting hooked up with our friends at American Financing. Lots of people out there as well. But, you know, I'm still surprised how many people haven't made the decision to go out and check and see whether they could be saving a bundle just by getting a new mortgage rate. You know, you can find and save yourself up to $1,000 a month. You only have to give 10 minutes to call American Financing, and you could be well on your way to saving $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month. You could skip a couple of payments. Buck, how do people get hooked up with American Financing like you already have?
I'm getting my loan. I'm going to find out when we're closing here in just a couple of weeks, I think. So it's been a seamless process. I've got a great rate, and the customer service is better than any banking situation I've dealt with before. Call American Financing at 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Is trucking, the profession of truck drivers, is there a lot of racism? Is everything racist? Is the question that is always being asked on MSNBC. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show here. And, you know, you'd think we're talking about supply chain issues. We're talking about how we can get more. And one thing, when you've been doing radio as long as Clay and I have, you know that some of the people that are riding along with you the most consistently day in and day out are truck drivers. And they're the reason that we actually have commerce in this country. It's great to get things to the port. We appreciate our stevedores. Is that the appropriate term? Is that right?
That feels like a really old school term. I mean, I've seen that term before.
The dock workers.
Longshoremen? I think it's longshoremen.
Longshoremen? Okay. Well,
stevedore, it's a good question. I think of that as like somebody who worked on a train back in like the 1870s. Like, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
No, it's a person employed or engaged at a dock to load and unload cargo from a ship.
Would that be the same thing as a longshoreman?
Yes. Well, actually, no. Let me check. I gotta see. We're learning things in real time here. And of course, the people that do these jobs are like, come on, Clay and Buck, get it together. Oh, yeah, it's the same thing.
I think longshoreman is the preferred term. Like, you're not allowed to say,
I don't think you get
stewardess.
In trouble. I don't think anyone's going to punch you if you say stevedore.
You may have just alienated the entire package plant community out there.
Whatever the preferred nomenclature may be. The point here
is
that.
Flight attendant versus stewardess.
We got a lot. No, I don't think it's like that.
I think it's like
but
that.
But anyway.
I think you've offended everyone.
We got a lot of people driving trucks listening to the show. We so appreciate you because some of you are in the truck and you're listening for, you know, maybe the whole 3 hours of the show. And so thank you for that. And so that's just why this just annoyed me, man. This just set me off. MSNBC is having a conversation about how do we get more truckers on the road?
Which is important.
Massively
important.
And we all want.
Yes.
We just want safe, skilled truck drivers out there getting commerce done. And MSNBC turns it into, big surprise, a discussion about racism.
How can the industry be more welcoming? Because I have to tell you, I talked to a lot of truck drivers in preparing for this segment, and most of these truck drivers were people of color, and they talked about, you know, hearing some of the racism over the CB. You know, this is, again, an industry populated by a lot of white men over the age of 55. This group of people overwhelmingly voted for Trump. Some people have talked about, you know, aggressive truck drivers cutting them off or not being helpful. So obviously, the more populated it is with people of color, I think you'll see less of that. But how can you encourage people to come and disrupt this space when it seems a bit unwelcoming?
Wait, there's so much there, Clay. First of all, so if there's more people of color, then inherently there will be less rudeness among the drivers? I mean, like, What is she even saying?
Well, I'm just calling BS on the open of that, where she claimed that before she went on the show to talk about this subject, she talked to a lot of truck drivers.
Did not happen.
No, I would wager a monster amount of money that she did not talk to a lot of truck drivers. She might have talked to a truck driver. She might have somebody's dad who she sent text messages to or something. There is no way she did substantial research for truck drivers, all right? And there are over 11 million open jobs right now. A huge number of open jobs, especially given what's going on with our transportation supply chain snafus, our disaster that's going on right now, are directly related to truck drivers. And Buck, I've heard from a lot of truck drivers that even though they are solitary inside of their cabin much of the day driving in their trucks, that they are going to be required to get the vaccine because many of them are employed by larger entities that employ over 100 people. And then a lot of them are going to quit potentially. So we're not only going to have a truck driver shortage as exists right now, the Biden mandate, if it's actually implemented, is going to make things even worse.
Right. Isn't it funny? You and I actually do hear from truck drivers on a regular basis. I think that's funny with the MSNBC. I spoke to a lot of, I mean, I get messages from them, I think, every day. close to every day.
That is a massive portion of our listenership. Because as you point out, they're in the car. They're in their trucks all day.
And, you know, I hope some of them are pulling the horn for the Clay and Buck show, you know, right now. You know, I don't know. I think it's called the horn, right? Whatever. Anyway, the point is, stevedores, the horn.
You're in the transportation industry right now. The horn. the stevedores. I actually would love to know from people out there. They can tweet us or call in. How frequently is the term stevedore used? Because I feel like this is something that I haven't seen since like I think it's old school.
I think it's up there with like haberdashery or something. You know, it's still technically correct, but you don't really hear it as much. But look, the point here about MSNBC is that we sometimes ask this question rhetorically. Do they really think, is everything about race, and can they make anything a discussion of racism? And they answer it day in and day out. And it is fascinating to watch. At MSNBC, they can make anything. In fact, every single topic. Anything can be about racism. Of course, COVID can be about racism. The only other thing that I've seen that was amazing intellectual gymnastics from MSNBC and a bit from CNN too recently is that inflation, Clay, is caused by COVID. Did you know this? That if we only got more people to get shots, inflation goes down. Oh, wow. That's remarkable how that comes together.
It is. I'm still kind of laughing. Thinking about like the chimney sweep. Like what other phrases could we come up here for jobs that have been hopelessly left aside? The stevedore. I'm still kind of hung up on that.
Well, if you have any dock workers listening and they want to call it and weigh in, by all means.
I think longshoremen would be what they would want to be referred to. But yeah, I would love to know what the proper terminology is there.
800-282-2882. The lines are in fact open, and we're going to have our friend Dave Rubin joining us here in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking to Mr. Rubin just about, because he's a big free speech guy involved in some of the actual free speech platforms that are out there right now, where you're allowed to say things that are against the mainstream, that are even controversial. And we'll talk to him about what that looks like now. I mean, I think, Clay, the First Amendment is under greater pressure than at any time in my lifetime. And to find things that are almost analogous to what we're seeing now, you'd have to go back to the era of Woodrow Wilson when they were locking people up for unpopular opinions about the war in Europe.
It's pretty wild to think about that the liberal left-wing perspective now is speech that hurts my feelings shouldn't be allowed to be shared inside of the United States, which should be absolutely terrifying to anyone with a functional brain.
Coming back into that, plus we'll have more updates for you on the latest from the Rittenhouse trial. We could see the verdict maybe even by end of day, maybe by tomorrow, who knows. It'll be coming down, though, this week most likely, and could be any hour. We'll bring you the latest on that. Plus, Fauci says boosters for all adults. Who told you that was going to happen? We did.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.